Sometimes to find your way, you have to lose a path. We are talking to entrepreneurs, leaders, and makers about risk-taking, innovation, and pursuing ambition. Today, I am joined here with Charlie Ostertag. This is Coordinates Unknown. Charlie, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
I'm very excited to interview you because I know a little bit about your story, but it is very unknown.
Right.
Tell me how you're now COO of RedTag, which is a really high demanding position.
Yeah, depending on the day.
And you are how old?
I just turned 30. Was that Monday? So last Monday. So
incredible. So at your young age, you've been able to achieve a tremendous amount of things. And to lead a company like RedTag is really impressive. What do you think? Well, first, let's start with how did you get here? Talk me through your evolution, the evolution of Charlie Ostertag.
Yeah, the evolution of Charlie. So I started as a tattoo artist when I was about 16. And actually, even before that, there's a story I like to tell. When I was in kindergarten, we used to have these things called Scholastic Book Fairs, right? And I don't know if you guys know a little bit about that, but we would set up in the library and these folks would come in and it'd be this huge kind of art fair, craft fair. And I actually bought a stamp when I was there one time. And I walked outside and started charging people admission to get into the Scholastic Book Fair, which was pretty insane, by the way. I got in a lot of trouble. I got written up by that. but I've always had a very entrepreneurial mindset, right? I've always wanted to make more and always just had a drive to try to push the boundaries and explore and really want to, you know, find better paths for people and find better solutions for things. So when I was a teenager, I was a tattoo artist. I've always loved to draw and everything. And debating how far I want to go into it, but I was a tattoo artist for a time in Shively, which is in South in Louisville. And it was something that I remember I would walk every day after high school and walk about 2 miles, and then I would work there. I feel like an old person who's like, back in my day, I used to walk uphill in the snow both ways. But I used to actually walk there every day and work until 7 p.m. And then I would work 11 to 7 on Saturdays, right? And this was not a great area. It was somewhere where I remember one time I had gotten to the shop and they actually found a kid that I went to school with who was my age dead in the bushes, like two houses down, right? It was something that, you know, every day was just, we would have any number of people coming into the shop. I actually, one of the folks, Manuel. He was this, you know, 7 foot or 6 foot tall guy. And I was this little, 15-year-old tattoo artist, looked like Harry Potter. And I actually was very intimidated by him, but, I taught him how to draw. Right. And it was something that, connecting with people on kind of an intimate one-to-one level and understanding what draws them there is something that has always been part of my background. And I like to trace that back to the tattoo days. A lot of people consider that kind of almost like a therapy type of session, right? Where you go in, you are usually getting a tattoo for a reason. And you get to learn a lot about people. You get to see all kinds of folks. And I loved it for a long time. But over the course of about 3 years, I ended up making probably $400 in tips during that whole time because I was an apprentice. I worked for free and I was in high school and I wanted to do fun things. And I just didn't really have the money to do those things. And so I ended up leaving the tattoo shop and my senior year of high school and started a job at UPS. And when I was at UPS, I was working in the, what do you call that? The shipping area. I'm not 100% sure what they call it, to be honest with you, because I only did it for a few months. I learned that, you know, clocking in and out every day on a set schedule and working in a more corporate environment or working with people who don't really care about each other just was not something that I wanted to do. I did not want to work at a bigger company. And I got so incredibly lucky because a friend of mine, Nick Prunty, he was actually leaving to go to UK and he worked as a print operator at a local marketing company. And that he had found through his dad, who was the janitor there. And so he said, you know, hey, I'm going to UK and I'd like to set them up with somebody who can do this type of job. Would you like to apply for the job? So I ended up applying for the job, got the job pretty quickly, and worked as a printer press operator there. So if you're familiar with printing press, it's essentially where you know, we've got these huge $500,000 machines and we're printing thousands and thousands of labels per minute. And it really shows you the efficiency of scale when it comes to, you know, yes, it's creative on the side that we were designing the labels and we were building them for clients and for brands, but also seeing the kind of business application of that and seeing how you can make that become a reality. And so I worked there for about 5 or 6 years. And during that time, I saw what the designers were doing, what the account executives were doing. And they used to make fun of me because I would, working a printing press is a pretty manual labor type of job, right? And I would actually wear a button up to that job and they would make fun of me for it, right? But I really wanted to try to build more. And I've always been very ambitious and wanting more for my life. And so, you know, I ended up teaching myself graphic design on nights and weekends. I went to YouTube University, and before TikTok and all that. But, you know, even if it was today, I would be studying things night and day, just trying to learn how to do things. All I really wanted was an opportunity to shine and to be able to bring to light something. And so they actually ended up, after much persistence, started apprenticing me as a junior designer. And so I worked there for a number of years, and it was a great experience, great people. But I kind of was starting to get a little bit bored of the same type of work, right? I was doing a little bit of video production and a little bit of design, but I wanted to do more. It's something that's always been part of my nature, is to strive for more. So I actually was offered a position at an in-house company and as their brand manager. They owned several companies in the region, and it was the opportunity to work for them as a designer and part video as their brand manager. And so I worked there for a time trying to kind of consolidate their brand work and building them a website and different things. And that was a lot of fun, but the same reason that I left the previous place is why I left this one, because it was whenever you work in-house, it's just slow. There's a lot of things there's a lot of red tape that you have to cross. I wanted to work on multiple projects, multiple accounts, and so I very quickly left that place and decided in-house work is really just not for me. The difference between an agency where you're working day and night, and I don't even want to say day and night, but you're working consistently on different accounts, mm-hmm. and no 2 days are the exact same. That's like the antithesis. I don't want to come into work and expect the same thing day after day. I want to be able to do something different and look at each day as a new opportunity to make something, right? I left that place. I ended up getting a job at Red Tag as a graphic designer. And at the time, we were a shop of about 6 people and in a second story house, essentially, on Frankfurt Avenue. And we were all in just this tiny space. I remember it being so small and quiet that, like, when you eat lunch or something like that, when you're in a building that small, you're like, man, I feel like everyone's hearing me chew, right? We were that, like, close-knit together where we would, you know, we would talk about pretty much everything. And it was such a great experience. And then, COVID hit, right? And during COVID, we all ended up working from home. And it was a pretty tough time for all of us. It's a tough time for everybody. But we ended up losing about, 40 to 50% of our revenue during that time in a very short manner, because what's one of the first things to go, especially in a pandemic, is advertising, right? People just aren't buying things. But we got really, I like to say lucky, we got really lucky because we had recently built some e-commerce sites for some of our clients and actually positioned them to acquire online sales during that time. And it was just kind of happenstance that we launched one of the largest e-commerce projects that we ever had up to that point, April of 2022, right? April of 2020, right? And with that, we were able to, I think we had a goal for the year to reach 100,000 in sales for the entire year on that e-commerce store. We ended up reaching that in a month, right? And so while we did lose some revenue, we ended up also acquiring revenue. It meant that we had to offer services at a lower price point. We had to meet people where they were. And we did a lot of connecting with our clients at that time. They weren't going through the best of times, neither were we, but we were going to go through it together. And we still have a lot of those relationships to this day, 5 years later. And, I think what ended up happening was we ended up being able to acquire new business too, that was looking for those e-commerce sales, looking to, during the pandemic, there was a lot of things with, masks and, other kind of at home things too, where people were looking for things to spend their time with at home. And so we were able to actually earn back all the revenue that we had lost. And then when things started opening up, we got those previous clients back up to full strength. And so we very quickly doubled in size, right? And then the rest after that, after about 2022 is when I ended up bringing on our first designers who are still with us to this day, and our writer, and who's now our director of strategy. And it was something where, you know, during the pandemic, I was wearing a lot of hats, mm-hmm. and we were expanding. I was working nights and weekends and was really almost burning out in a lot of ways, right? And I had this very much imposter syndrome, like a effect that was going on where I felt like I was not up to snuff with the work that was coming through, right? I wasn't able to hack it. You know, I was stressed all the time. I was doing, honestly, at the time, account management, project management, pretty much all the hats I wear today, but I was doing it in a more impromptu way. And it was during that time that we actually reached out and we brought on some other folks, and they kind of showed me that it wasn't that I wasn't able to, they showed me that I wasn't behind, but that the company needed to improve and that we needed to improve our processes, right? That it wasn't a me thing, it was the company thing. And since then, we've made a lot of improvements and we've done a lot of things. We've grown our video team and we've worked together on a number of different shoots. And you know, I think the past few years in particular, we've just blossomed in size. I think we hit at a very good time. I don't know how I want to phrase this, but, we were able to catapult Red Tag at a time when other agencies were not able to progress. Mm-hmm. They ended up having to shrink and we grew, right? And so during that time, we saw that opportunity. We took that opportunity and we hired some really great people. We've done some amazing projects with some amazing clients. You know, today I think we've won, what was it, like 30 different awards at AAF and AIGA and an Emmy recently. And so, you know, I think it's something where that's all fun and good. But the other part that's probably more important is the success we've had for our clients. And you know, in some instances, almost doubling or tripling their business over the span of 5 years and growing with them alongside us has just been one of the best things I've ever had the pleasure of doing. So
it sounds like just throughout your entire career, tenacity and that hunger to really improve has been that one, those skills mm-hmm. that have gotten you to where you are. Because if you had not walked those hours, I mean, an average person would be like, screw it, I'll just stay at home. I don't, especially after seeing a child, you know, being killed.
Yeah.
So it really shows how you are willing to push through in difficult times like COVID and just make sure that you keep learning and keep growing. So yeah. That sounds like that's how you got here. And it shows to the company, a lot of us, that, you know, I think we all share a lot of those values. Right. And I think that really makes what Red Tag is.
I agree. You know, I think, well, I like to call it scrappy, right? where, you know, there's all kinds of marketing words that we've thrown out, but ultimately it goes back to the scrappiness of wanting to be the best, wanting the best outcomes for our clients and wanting to do what it takes to get that. And a lot of times that means sacrifices, you know, whether that's on a personal level, having to work long hours and stuff, but I don't think we shy away from it. You know, we don't do it because it's easy. We do it because it's hard, right? And for me, you know, that always comes from, if you're going to do something, you need to do it right. No matter what you do, put your mind to it and make sure that it's the best that it can be. And that applies to advertising, that applies to tattooing, that applies to videography. And you may not be the best at it, but the pursuit of trying and the pursuit of that excellence is what's going to get you to where you want to be, or at least get you closer to that. You know, it's funny because you talk about a lot of the successes, but to me, I feel like we still have a long way to go, right? I think it's hard for me to reflect on that because, you know, now I see there's folks like yourself, folks like some of the other folks that you've talked to on this podcast coming in, and I want to have that success for them. You know, I dedicate a lot of my time to trying to create those opportunities for other folks and to hopefully give them the ability to work through their own battles that they're going through and be that support system so that they can build something amazing that they never thought possible.
That's something that I don't think many agencies can say they have. In your own words, what would you say are the main things that set Red Tag aside from other agencies?
Good question. I would say what sets Red Tag apart from other agencies is our ability to ask the right questions. I look at us as being more diagnostic in our approach than prescriptive, right? So if I go to the doctor and I've got a problem with my knee and they immediately start throwing drugs at me and saying, oh, well, you should do this, you should do this. But they don't really ask me questions about, you know, what is my history on it? What have I been eating recently? What is my activity level or anything like that? Then I know that that is not necessarily the best approach. It's just something that they have to do because it's a number to them, right? And I see agencies do a lot of the same thing where they want to prescribe the same antidote or the same medication, if you will, to every client that they work with and say that, you know, hey, you need to run meta ads, you need to do billboards, and you need a new brand. Boom, 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 right? And I think a large part of what sets Red Tag apart is our ability to get in, ask those right questions, and figure out what truly is the best step for that client. And to try to unpack and unravel what are the challenges that they actually are going through.
So if somebody as a business owner is needing to go see an agency, what are the symptoms that showcase that, that says you need to go to the Red Tag doctor?
That's a great question. So throughout business, there are hills and valleys, right? Every business, if you were to map it out on a graph, it grows in a linear graph and then hits a plateau. Then a linear graph up, then hits a plateau, climbs and then plateaus. And this is throughout all industries, throughout all times, really. And if you're a business owner sitting there and you have gone through a period of immense growth and you have great tenacity yourself and you want to know what is next? How can we break through that next ceiling? That's when you should come to Red Tag, is when you want to break through that next ceiling and you're not 100% sure how, or maybe you know how, but you need extra help to do it. We're here to help.
That's perfect. So what are some of those different things that Red Tag offers?
Oh, yeah. So Red Tag is a full service ad agency in a lot of ways.
What does that mean?
And what that means is that from the top to the bottom, whether it's building a new brand, refreshing your current brand, launching a new product, trying to reinvigorate sales both online and in store, whether it's video production, building a new website, we have tools to be able to handle all of that. And if we don't do that in-house, we have connections and partnerships to handle pretty much any aspect of growing your business.
So leave ordinary behind. Is that our tagline?
It's one of our taglines. So every year I'd like to challenge the team with a mission statement. What are we going to do this year? And for 2025, the main mission is leave ordinary behind, right? And that's a call to action for both our team and also our clients to try to challenge the expected and look for out-of-the-box solutions. You know, we're in a time of drastic upheaval in the market when it comes to things like AI and even just the expediency of and democratization of creative when it comes to TikTok and things like that. And so it's a challenge to everyone to try to say, what are you going to do today to leave ordinary behind? And we like to challenge our clients too, because we want clients who want to push the envelope, who want to look at what's next and what's ahead in the industry. And we want to be there to guide them in that next move.
That's perfect, because that leads into my last question, which is high level. What do you see in the future for Red Tag?
What do I see in the future for Red Tag? That's a great question. I see building amazing solutions for our clients, right? And I know that sounds kind of contrite, but I honestly want to see us rise to be the dominant agency in the entire region and expand our reach to be able to do things that we've never even been able to do. I want to be the solution for businesses looking to grow and ones who aren't afraid to explore the bounds of what's possible. And I really want Red Tag to continue to grow, bring on some great additional team members, and to, you know, I can talk more tangibly. We want to do more on the AI side, right? We want to look at building AI solutions for our clients and how we implement that in their marketing. We've had some instances of that, and I think there's some really exciting stuff coming soon.
That is very exciting, and I think we all echo that vision of just striving for more, aligning with the right clients, and really being able to help them succeed, because that's really what Red Tag is here for. So, perfect. Charlie, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your story with us. This is Coordinates Unknown. If this story resonated with you, share it with somebody who's carving their own path, and we will see you at the edge of the map.
Thank you.